It was a very fun experience, and anyone who's visually impaired or blind, I would recommend doing it if you can, if you want to, if you want to step up to that challenge.
Yeah,
go ahead and do it.
Aloha, everyone. Welcome back to Connect the Dots. This is your host, Ezra White, with Guide Dogs of Hawaii. This is a safe place for blind and visually impaired individuals to come together, share experiences, and learn from each other. Continuing with our sports category, we will be taking a look into the life and experiences of a blind individual who did not let his visual impairment prevent him from participating in sports activities. He played soccer as a kid, participated in Boy Scouts for many years, and also participated in many extracurricular physical activities throughout his school. Without further ado, let me introduce Robbie Crouch. So we talked about, you mentioned, and in the introduction, I mentioned that you were a part of Boy Scouts for a number of years. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that a little bit. I remember you said you started since you were a cub. Mm-hmm. Could you talk about your experience in that, how you got into Boy Scouts, and just take us through, a play-by-play of how you got into it and what sorts of activities did you guys do?
Okay, so the ending of third grade, close to fourth grade, when I started to get into Cub Scouts because my mom wanted to, see if there was other things that would be fun for me to do, since, you know, there wasn't a lot of activities. Like, I couldn't go play basketball. I couldn't go, you know, football, soccer, like normal kids would be doing. And it was harder to find accessible versions of those sports. So I ended up going into Boy Scouts, and that was one of the best decisions I think she made. So shout out to my mom. But I personally, like, really enjoyed scouting, and a lot of the activities when we were in Cub Scouts was, you know, basic, like, generic, like, selling the popcorn and going on, like, small hikes and, you know, doing, like, having these special activities that we would have every month or so. We'd also meet once a month as well, so we'd have, like, an activity and then our meetings that we would meet once a month. That was really nice and fun to do. And once we progressed over to Boy Scouts, which, for those of you who don't know, Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts are related, and it's the same group, pretty much. So it's like the same troop, but there's Cub Scouts and then there's Boy Scouts after. So you'd, like, kind of graduate from the Cub Scouts to Boy Scouts in that sense. So in Boy Scouts, you meet actually once a week, generally, and then you would be going over to, like, whatever meeting spot. So my troop met at Noilani Elementary School in Manoa for a long, long time, and we would always have activities and different, like, knot tying, and we would discuss all these other things. So it was basically teaching us skills about how to best survive in the wild or whatnot. And then we had a lot of camps and all those other activities that would, you know, help train us for surviving in the wild, so hiking and all that. If you have any other questions, like Ezra, like, mm-hmm. if you can think of anything, ask it, because I don't know if I can recall everything that we did. So
no, that's fine.
Yeah.
So what you just gave me sounded like, you know, a lot of different varieties of activities, from fundraising to, like you said, surviving out there with the resources that you had with you. And mm-hmm. It's very, very, very admirable. Were you the only one in your troop who had a disability?
No. So there was another person in our troop that had a disability, but his disability was more of a mental sort of disability instead of visual. So or physical. So I was the only one in my troop that had a visual impairment, and I think that having that, it taught all the scouts that were in that age range or who were in the troop already, and all the people around my age, it taught them a lot about how to help those people with visual impairments or other disabilities, because we had people in the troop that had those certain disabilities, and I think that's one of the special things that our troop had over every other troop that was out there. It's because you don't normally hear of people who are in Boy Scouts or anything else who have disabilities.
Right.
They don't tell those stories, but they, they're very well could be, but they don't make it aware.
Right.
And for the record, I made my way all the way up to Eagle Scout, but we can get to that in a little bit. Yeah. But yeah.
That was actually one of my last questions, because I do remember you posted somewhere on social media that you got Eagle Scouts, but we can talk about that in a little while. So regarding the fact that you were the only one in your entire troop who had a visual impairment, how did your what are your teammates called?
It was just the other boys or the other people, yeah.
So how did the other scouts
there you go.
I guess, how did they react to you being blind? Or, did they treat you as an equal, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, so I think at first they didn't know how to treat me. Mm-hmm. Because, all their lives, and of course, kids are going to be kids. They're going to be mean at points and whatnot,
right.
Which is normal. And I think that after they got to understand what I can and cannot do, they really noticed and started to be more helpful, I guess. And they were more interested on how they could best help me compared to trying to have me figure it out on my own, or have the adults, the supervisors or people that were watching over us, have them help me instead. Mm-hmm. So they tried to do their best to help me and make things accessible for me. And I know later on when we talk about merit badges or whatever, whenever that comes up, I'll go more into detail on how they helped me with that sort of stuff, and getting those things done, the accommodations they made for me. But yeah.
Okay. Well, right on. I think that's definitely, I agree earlier when you said your mom made a very good decision. I agree with that. That's wonderful that she, put you in that kind of environment just to expose, you to different activities, outdoor activities, to get you active and to get you, to give you the knowledge of how to do specific, different things that not a lot of blind people, may not know how to do, myself included. And also just to bring awareness to your troop mates, and also your troop leaders. I think having a blind scout, or visually impaired scout in this case, involved in that kind of thing, I think that was a really awesome decision that your mom made, and it's very, 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 very good that she made that decision. Moving on, let's move on to your badges. Could you talk about that? I guess, what badges are you most proud of that you were able to earn and gain?
Okay, so a lot of the merit badges that we had to complete for this, and I guess I'll go more in detail on the ranks of scouting. So, and this is just gonna be really quick. The way that the scouting thing goes is scout, then it goes to tenderfoot, second class, first class, star, life, eagle. So in those rankings, each one has their own requirements to get to the next level, right? So we have, for example, from scout to tenderfoot, you have to complete so many merit badges. I think it's only three or something, something really small. And then you have to, just be able to tie certain knots and do certain things to like be able to tie a square knot and all that sort of stuff. And then you'd have to basically just kind of complete other tasks like setting up a fire, tent, and all that other good stuff. So those things basically leveled up throughout the rankings, and a lot of the merit badges that we did were I guess related to educating us on what's out there in the world, because they formed scouting around the idea of educating the scouts to be very knowledgeable on a bunch of different topics that they were interested in. But there were 13 required merit badges, and you needed a total of 21 to become an Eagle Scout. So out of the like required ones, there's like camping, hiking, and a bunch of other ones I can't remember, but feel free to like of course look them up, because mm-hmm. it is very publicly available for people to look up. But all of those merit badges were super, at times they were difficult because the workbooks that you had to do for them were very, it was kind of basic. If you think about it, it's kind of like, you know, homework pretty much, right? So it was, that part was okay for me to do, but a lot of it, like the hiking and all that, was very strenuous for me because, you know, visually I can't tell if there's a super big drop. Mm-hmm. Or like if it's a, say it's like maybe like a 4 foot drop or something, right? I can't tell very well like how far down it actually is sometimes. It's only for those, the smaller drops or whatever. But of course I'll tell if there's a cliff next to me, because it'll just be a straight shot down to the ground. But, yeah. But like there's other merit badges too, like of course like the swimming one, that was the easiest one for me to get, mm-hmm. because I love water activities, so like, you know, going to the beach and all that other stuff, swimming, like that was really easy for me to do. Hiking was definitely one of the harder ones for me to do, mm-hmm. But I did it. I definitely did it. I think you're supposed to do, I think, 5 like short hikes, so like it could be like 3 miles to 5 mile long hikes. You had to do 2 10-mile long hikes and a 1 20-mile hike.
Wow.
Yeah, so the 20-mile hike, we basically, so we call it an urban hike because it's literally you just walk from one point of town to the other end of town, mm-hmm. and there you go, there's your 20-mile hike.
So how I guess real fast, could talk about the 20-mile one, because that one sounds, I never knew you guys had to do that. So where did it take place?
So our 20-mile hike, we actually started in Manoa. Uh-huh. And we kind of went from, like, Noilani Elementary School area. So that's kind of in, not the heart of Manoa, but kind of by Manoa Marketplace area, right? Okay. So we started over there, and we ended up in Po'oa Valley.
Oh, wow.
So it was we basically just walked the streets until we got there. And we didn't, like, make shortcuts and go up, you know, we didn't walk up the mountain and just go over to the next valley, right? Mm-hmm. We went around the mountain, like how other cars do.
Yeah, you took the long way then.
Yeah, we had to go the long way. Okay. So it actually ended up being more like 20, 22 miles or something, which is kind of crazy. But it was fun. We got to have a lot of experiences that realistically, like, no one really expected to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet.
It was very hard on me, though.
Yeah. Was it you recall it being a hot day?
Of course, we schedule it on the hottest day of the summer.
Yeah. Yeah. And how long did it take you guys to do the hike?
I think we started at, like, 7.
Okay.
We ended around 4.
4, okay.
So 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 9 hours.
9, okay.
Yeah.
How long ago was this?
Oh gosh, I don't remember. We did this. We did this one a really long time ago. Like,
Was it like middle school time?
I think it was. Or it was. It definitely was like either freshman year of high school or mm-hmm. even like eighth grade or that summer between eighth grade and ninth grade, I think. See. So it was a while ago.
Okay.
Definitely 4 years, a little more than 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That is awesome. What would you say was the most challenging thing you participated in with Boy Scouts?
The most challenging thing, I think, was... I think it was the hike.
The hike we just talked about?
Not that one. All the really? Other hikes that we would do mm-hmm. That were really, like... It was mainly the ones that we had to actually go into a mountain and hike.
I see.
So, like, one of our summer camps, we actually went over to Kauai. And we had a cabin up in the mountains. Mm-hmm. And there was a hike down the road that we were going to do. And that hike ended up being one of the ones that really, really killed me. Like, it was really bad.
Oh, wow.
I think that was like my breaking point for hiking, mm-hmm. and I didn't go on any hikes for a long time after that one because it was not traumatizing, but it took me really long because visually I it was difficult, and I think we started that hike maybe earlier in the morning, and it took me about the same time as that 20-mile hike to get back to the cabin where we were staying. So it was about 8-9 hours. It was crazy.
Oh, wow.
It sucked.
yeah, I bet. I sorry, how long was that hike? Did you
8 or 9 hours.
In miles?
In miles? I think it was one of our more longer ones. So I definitely think it was one of the 10-mile hikes that we ended up doing. So it was, because 5 miles in, 5 miles out, right? Uh-huh. So, yeah.
Wow. And you guys, you went to Kauai for that?
So we had, that was where our summer camp was.
Okay.
So that's when we had that happen. I think that was sophomore or like freshman year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So that was the most challenging for you. How was the hike?
Yeah, definitely. I take that statement back. That was one of the most challenging things. The other one would have definitely been my Eagle Scout.
Oh, yes, we got to talk about that.
Yeah.
I know earlier you said you enjoyed the water activities you guys did mm-hmm. Quite a bit. Well, what kind of things did you guys do in the water?
It was for the water activities, it was mainly like swimming and like survival tactics in the water. So mm-hmm. like, you know, if you got lost in the ocean, you'd be able to survive to try to hopefully get back to land or something. So one of the like techniques they taught us was how to do like that 1 mile an hour swim. So it's basically like a simple breaststroke swim, mm-hmm. but you save and conserve all of your energy, and you basically just do like one really powerful strong stroke, like every minute.
Wow.
So then you can
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So, I know you said you don't really do any Boy Scouts anymore. Do you think you would ever go back and take a leadership role, kind of like a mentorship for the younger Scouts?
I really think I would. Mm-hmm. But I feel like giving me a different perspective on it and giving everyone else a different perspective on it would be the way that I would want to go, because I feel like me just going back and helping them do the normal thing is pointless, because they already have a bunch of people that do that, right? I would give them the different perspective, and I'd want to go back and help them maybe teach about the accommodation stuff mm-hmm. that I got from all of the leaders at the time.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah, I think you should definitely do that if you have the time and all that. That'll be pretty awesome, and I'm sure that those Cub Scouts, those Boy Scouts would appreciate getting that experience of learning from somebody, not only who's been through exactly what they've been through, but or who's been through exactly what they're currently going through, but also who's done it blind, and he's done it without the full capability of his vision. Mm-hmm. One final question. I know we're going to have to cut it short here. Talk about your Eagle Scout. What is that? I believe earlier you said that's the highest rank you can have.
Yes. So in Boy Scouts, that is the highest rank that you can achieve. And to be honest, there's actually a funny story that goes behind that, because when I was in scouting, I never really thought about achieving Eagle Scout. And of course, knowing me, I did this during the pandemic too, mm-hmm. which is crazy, because not only was it one of the hardest times to find a project place, it was one of the times where we weren't so certain about doing our meetings and all that. And I was so lucky to be able to achieve this during that time. So going back to the beginning of that, though, it started when I realized that, my project was not project, but the end goal was a lot closer than I thought. All I needed to do was complete one more merit badge, and I would have been able to start achieving that. And I ended up just emailing the Eagle Scout, or the Aloha Council, which is the scouting leadership here in Hawaii. And I just wanted to get the Eagle Scout application, and I got the form. This was in total, I think it was about a 35-page document.
Wow.
So the first part, which was about 5 pages, was the proposal, because it had all the legality issues and mm-hmm. all the terms and whatever and all my information and the project idea that I had. And during that time, I actually wanted to do I was debating on choosing Roosevelt, actually, which I ended up choosing them. But I wanted to find a project at Roosevelt that needed to be done. And I thought of the bleachers of our stadium, football stadium. Mm-hmm. And, although that it would go away, because weathering and all that, it would, my work cleaning it would go away. I still wanted to do that because giving the people the opportunity to have a nice spot to sit, or knowing that it was cleaned and recently fixed.
So this is like a community service project?
Yes. So that's okay. Kind of what Eagle Scout projects are. Is it's basically a community service project that mm-hmm. That you can complete, that you basically become a manager of a construction site, if you think about it like that.
I see.
So you get to, you have to do all the planning and everything, which takes a long time. And for some reason or some way, some magical, I don't know what, but I got it done in 3 months.
Wow.
I started the project in March. I got it done by the end of June.
Wow, that's awesome.
So, yeah, there was a lot of planning in that. I had to communicate with a lot of the staff at Roosevelt, the administration. I also needed to communicate with my troop as well, to inform them on what they needed to bring and what we were providing and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we actually got a lot of donations from people about in regards to them bringing tents for us to set up and all that, because we needed those that stuff so we could put tables under for drinks and food. And it was a lot of planning that went into it. And again, thank you to my mom for keeping me going through that entire time, because it was difficult. It was very difficult, yeah. Because it taught me a lot about managing people, mm-hmm. and a project in itself. So it taught me a lot, and I think I took that into my life skills that I have now, is to be more beneficial for the other people, not just myself. So yeah, that Eagle project was very fun, very tiring, though. By the end of it, I was ready to go to sleep.
I bet.
I think I started at 7, mm-hmm. got it to the school at 6, started at 7, And then it ended around 2 o'clock. So, because I didn't want to keep everyone there for like the entire day, you know?
Yeah.
Because people have stuff to do. And it was a lot of planning. Now going to that, you know, on that, going back to that document, that middle part was how I was going to do the project. And that's where, like what I just talked about, you know, the planning phase. That's what that second part of the document was all talking about. And I didn't realize how hard it was to plan for these events. It's very difficult.
Yes.
And I give props to all the people in the world that can do that. Because, oh my gosh, I don't think I can do that alone again.
Mm-hmm.
And then that last part was basically like talking about how it went and the write-up of the entire project. So it was very eye-opening, and I enjoyed doing it a lot. And I don't remember the date that I got my Eagle awarded to me, but I am the first visually impaired person in my troop, possibly in the state of Hawaii, to get it, their Eagle Scout. I got awarded from the House and the Senate of Hawaii.
Wow.
For it, yeah.
That's quite a bragging right.
It is. I have the plaques in my room. They're framed and everything.
Oh, that is awesome, man. Wow. So I bet, you know, that's pretty much your entire years long journey of being, you know, starting as a cub and getting your Eagle Scout award. That's wow.
I got that my junior and senior year of high school.
High school, I see. Yeah. How did you feel?
Honestly, like, I'm not trying to brag and say that I'm very humble, but I didn't see it as anything different. Like, I just said it's just another thing that I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't go around telling people, oh, I have my Eagle Scout.
Right.
Like, oh, I got my Eagle Scout and I'm blind or whatever, right? Like, mm-hmm. No. When people find out, they're very surprised. And they ask me, how was that? And all I tell them is, it just, you know, right place, right time, right people.
You're right.
And it was a fun journey. Would I do it again? Definitely. Would I do the hike again? Hell no. If I could make the decision to not do that hike, I would never have done that hike. I would have done another 10-mile urban hike or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very fun experience. And anyone who's visually impaired or blind, I would recommend doing it if you can, if you want to. If you want to step up to that challenge,
yeah,
go ahead and do it.
But I appreciate it. Is there any last things you want to say to our audience?
If you're thinking about doing something, just do it. Because if you don't, you know, like Kobe Bryant said, or I don't remember it, if it was him or LeBron or whoever, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah.
And I stand true to that statement, and I agree with it completely, because, you know, if I didn't do these things, I wouldn't be where I am now.
Definitely. I could not have said that better myself. Anyways, thank you, Robert, for joining us, and you have yourself a wonderful day.
Mahalo.
As we draw to a close with this episode, I thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoyed your visit and found useful information. We welcome your feedback at feedback@guidedogsofhawaii.org. Please feel free to join us on our social media platforms such as Instagram and Facebook. You can find us by searching for Guide Dogs of Hawaii. Again, this is Ezra, and mahalo.